Long, long ago, in ancient India, a king named Satyajit lived near Lord Krishna's magnificent city of Dwarka. He was a great devotee of the celestial sun god, Surya, who liked him, because Satyajit would daily spend hours chanting sacred mantras in his honor and offering him fine gifts. The sun god's special benedictions are unlimited wealth and perfect health. Eager for such benedictions, Satyajit passed his days worshipping Suryadev. One day, feeling intense affection for his devotee Satyajit, Suryadev awarded him a magical jewel known as Shamantaka, never before seen in this world. The jewel had the amazing power to create 170 pounds of pure gold every day. What's more, it could ward off sickness and hunger for everyone who lived where it was worshipped. Satyajit was overjoyed to receive the gem. Bowing down out of deep gratitude, he said, "O most bright and beautiful Suryadev, knowing my heart, you have fulfilled my every desire." Full of conceit, Satyajit placed the dazzling gem on a chain, hung it around his neck, and strolled into Dwarka, arrogantly prancing by the grand palace of Lord Sri Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. Residents of Dwarka, blinded by the jewel's effulgence, mistook Satyajit for the sun god. Some of them ran to Krishna's palace to tell the Lord that Suryadev had come to pay him homage. At that time, Krishna was playing chess. They stood before him with folded palms and said, "O Lord Narayan, O lotus-eyed Govinda, please forgive us for this intrusion. We are here to announce that Suryadev has come to see you. He is so bright with intense love for you that his rays are blinding us." Krishna smiled broadly to hear the innocent words of his devotees. "My dear friends," he said, "it is not the sun god, but King Satyajit who has come to Dwarka. His effulgence emanates from the jewel he's wearing. After Satyajit had passed by Krishna's palace, without even thinking of paying homage to the Lord, he rushed home to arrange for the Shamantaka jewel's installation on a special altar. Though he called many respectable holy men to preside over the ceremony, he was so completely engrossed in thoughts of possessing the jewel that he forgot to invite Krishna to the ceremony to receive his blessings. Being a worshipper of the demigods, Satrajit had become too materialistic. Thus, sometime later, when Krishna asked him to give the jewel to Ugrasena, the Yadu king, Satrajit refused. Instead, he thought it wiser to worship the jewel himself, so he could get the 170 pounds of gold every day. One day, Satrajit's brother, Prasena, to show off his family's opulence, hung the jewel around his neck and rode off into the forest, on horseback, to hunt. As he rode here and there along the forest path, a big lion watched him from a rock high above the road. "Look at this man," the lion said to himself. "How pridefully he rides with this great shiny jewel resting on his swollen chest. But I am the king of this forest, the owner of everything, and the master of everyone. This jewel is meant for me," the lion roared, "to be worn around my kingly mane." Saying this, he leapt down upon Prasena and his horse, killed them both with his sharp teeth, and happily ran off with the Shamantaka jewel, leaving the two dead bodies on the road. Carrying the jewel in his mouth, the lion ran into a cave to enjoy the unique beauty of his trophy. As the jewel's splendid effulgence lit up the cave, the lion roared with great delight. Unfortunately, the lion had entered the cave of Jambavan, the king of the bears, who was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. Hearing the lion's roar within the entrance of his cave, Jambavan ran to protect his family. "Lion," Jambavan shouted, "why have you entered my home? And where did you get such a fine gem? From the blood on your paws, it appears you've killed someone to enjoy earthly splendor." The lion stood up infuriated. "How wrong you are, Jambavan. I am the king of this jungle, the owner of everything. Retreat into your cave or die." Jambavan replied, "You fool! Don't you know everything belongs to the Supreme Lord? Get out of here, or I'll send you to the abode of Yamaraj." At this, the lion sprang at Jambavan, his sharp claws bared, his fangs glistening. But as an elephant easily crushes an ant, Jambavan slapped the lion dead with his mighty fist. Jambavan carried the lion's dead body outside and left it on the mountainside. When he returned to his cave, he saw the Shamantaka jewel lying on the ground. Being a great devotee of the Lord, Jambavan did not see the valuable jewel as something he very much needed. So he gave it to his little son to play with. Meanwhile, back in Dwarka, Satrajit awaited the return of Prasena. When he did not return, Satrajit became deeply troubled. Unaware that his brother had been killed by a lion, he began to think that Krishna must have killed Prasena to take the jewel. This idea grew into a terrible rumor, which Satrajit spread like wildfire amongst all the residents of Dwarka.
You saw for yourself how Krishna asked me to give him the Shamantaka jewel. Because I refused, he must have stolen it from Prasena and killed him in the forest.
Satrajit spread this false rumor from house to house until it finally reached the lotus-like ears of Lord Sri Krishna within the palace walls. Wanting to remove the stain on his reputation, Krishna took some of Dwarka's leading citizens with him and set out to retrace Prasena's path. In the forest, they soon found the mauled bodies of Prasena and his horse, and further on, the body of the lion on the mountainside. Everybody could plainly see that the lion had been killed by the hand of Jambavan. "Dear Lord," the citizens exclaimed, "just see how Prasena and his horse were killed by the jaws of a lion. How horrible it is that Satrajit has accused you of such a terrible crime. We, your closest servants, never believed it." The Lord replied, "I know your hearts, dear friends. Only fools would believe such a rumor. But I cannot allow my reputation to become sullied, and thus I must prove my innocence. Come along," Krishna continued. "Since the jewel is no longer with Prasena or the lion, Jambavan must have it." Along with his subjects, Krishna stood at the mouth of the pitch-black cave. "Dear Krishna," one citizen said, "this cave is very frightening. Its entrance is as dark as night, and it appears to have a very long tunnel within. Perhaps we should return home to get torches." Krishna stood before the mouth of the cave. "No, that won't be necessary. I will enter the tunnel alone. I don't think you should come with me. I don't want to endanger any of you. But I'm not afraid, and I'm sure I will find the Shamantaka jewel in this cave." "Oh Lord," the citizens replied, "please don't enter the cave alone. If any harm comes to you, we'll never forgive ourselves." "Don't worry," Krishna assured them. "I'll be back as soon as I recover the jewel." Proceeded along the vast tunnel, deeper and deeper into the cave, until at last he entered Jambavan's home. there he saw a small child sitting on the ground, playing with the Shamantaka jewel. The child's nurse thought Krishna was a thief and cried out in fear.
Ah!
Upon hearing her cries, Jambavan, the strongest of the strong, ran toward the Lord. Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna. But because he was extremely angry, he could not recognize his master. Thinking the Lord to be an ordinary man, Jambavan challenged Krishna to a fight. And the Lord heartily accepted, wanting to enjoy a good tussle with his devotee. They fought furiously, like two opposing vultures. For 12 long days and nights, the residents of Dwarka waited outside the cave for Krishna to return. Then, fearing the worst, they returned to Dwarka with heavy hearts to inform King Ugrasena of all that had happened. Deep inside the cave, the battle between Krishna and Jambavan raged on. First, the two combatants struck each other with huge metal clubs. Then they began to hurl boulders at each other. Next, they took massive tree trunks and used those as clubs. And finally, they began striking each other with their fists, each blow sounding like the crack of thunder. The fighting went on day and night for 28 days. At last, Jambavan's muscles began to weaken from the powerful pummeling of Lord Krishna's fists, and his strength began to falter. Greatly astonished, Jambavan finally spoke. "My dear Lord, I can now understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the source of everyone's strength, wealth, fame, wisdom, and renunciation. You are the same Supreme Person whom I worship as Lord Ramachandra. No one else has such immeasurable strength to defeat me like this." Lord Krishna was satisfied by the submissive praise of Jambavan, and to mitigate his pain, the Lord began to gently rub his lotus palms all over Jambavan's body. At once, Jambavan felt complete relief from the pain and fatigue of the great battle. Then the Lord spoke to his devotee with sublime compassion, his grave voice deeply resounding like a cloud. "My dear King Jambavan, you, not the lion, are the true king of the jungle. O Lord of the Bears, it is for the Shamantaka jewel that I have come to your cave. Since the disappearance of this jewel, fools have defamed me. Please, turn the jewel over to me now. Understanding the whole situation, Jambavan immediately placed the magnificent jewel around the Lord's neck with great devotion. He also offered his beautiful maiden daughter, Jambavati, to join Krishna as his wife. Accepting both the Shamantaka jewel and Jambavati, Krishna happily married her within the mountain cave. Earlier, when the citizens had returned from the forest without Krishna, the Lord's family had plunged into an ocean of sorrow, and they had cursed Satyajit as the cause of Krishna's disappearance. They decided to pray to the demigoddess Durga for Krishna's safe return. And as soon as they had finished their prayers, the goddess promised to grant their request. Just then, Lord Krishna appeared before them with his new wife on his arm and the brilliant Shamantaka jewel around his neck. Overjoyed, the residents of Dwarka at once prepared to celebrate the return of their lord. Lord Krishna summoned Satyajit to the royal assembly, and in the presence of King Ugrasena, announced the recovery of the jewel. Then, he formally presented the jewel to Satyajit. Hanging his head in shame, Satyajit took the gem and returned home. As he pondered the grievous offense he had committed against Krishna, Satyajit worried about possible conflict with the Lord's mighty devotees. Then he thought, "How can I cleanse myself of my sin? And how may Lord Krishna become satisfied with me? What can I do to regain my good fortune and avoid being cursed for my offensive and foolish, miserly behavior? I know. I shall give Lord Krishna my daughter, Satyabhama, the jewel of all women, along with the Shamantaka jewel." To thus pacify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyajit arranged the marriage ceremony of Krishna and his beautiful daughter Satyabhama, and the Lord married her in proper religious fashion. Being pleased with Satyajit, Lord Krishna said, "It is better to let the Shamantaka jewel remain in the temple as you have kept it. In this way, since the jewel's presence in the city guarantees the absence of famine and other disturbances, every one of us will benefit." Krishna knew that in his heart, Satyajit had no real desire to give the jewel away. And so, having already acquired Satyajit's greatest treasure, the pure, gem-like Satyabhama, Krishna was happy to let Satyajit keep the Shamantaka jewel. It is said that anyone who hears the narration of the Supreme Lord's pastimes, such as the story of the Shamantaka jewel, or describes these pastimes, or even simply remembers them, is freed from all reactions to impious activities and attains the highest state of perfect peace.